Well, this is the time of year when so many folks are busy in their gardens and getting their lawns up to par. A lot of us are also worried about trees if this summer turns unusually hot and dry again. We'll talk about all of that now with our guest, Mark Nelson. He's a regional forestry supervisor for the Missouri Department of Conservation. Mark, nice to have you back. Welcome.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Dennis Patton is also here. He's a horticulturalist with the Johnson County K-State Research and Extension Service. Dennis, nice to have you.
It's great to be here this morning.
Well, Dennis, what kind of start have we had for vegetable gardens so far this year? I mean, how much impact did the extended cold weather have getting plants started this spring?
It has been a rough season. It's been kind of hit or miss. We've been hot. We've been cold. We had a frost, May 16th, 17th, with set a lot of things back. But, you know, people are starting to reap their rewards. People are harvesting lettuce, spinach. I know I got broccoli ready to go in my garden. Mm-hmm. So it's really not been that bad. It kind of has been a little cool in the soil. So tomatoes, peppers aren't getting off to maybe as quick a start as they should be.
But now we're rolling.
We're rolling. You know, we're up into the 80s. The soil temperatures are warming up. We got some rainfall over the weekend. So we're rocking and rolling in the vegetable garden.
Well, as far as our trees go, Mark, was the extreme cold weather a blessing or a curse that we had this last winter?
Really, it didn't have much effect at all.
Really?
There was some talk that maybe the cold weather would have affected the insects, the boring insects, and the things that were wintering underground.
The emerald ash borer, right?
Right. And no, we didn't have sustained cold long enough to really have much of an effect this past winter. What we are seeing, though, is the effect still of the drought, and the drought, as you said before, is still persisting. So that's our major concern right now, and emerald ash borer and some other things out there too.
Well, if folks are concerned about the drought and what it might mean, you know, Mark, for their trees, you'd recommend what? I mean, what should people be thinking about as the summer gets going here?
Yeah, people need to think about watering their trees, doing an evaluation. This is a good time because the trees are now fully leafed out. If the tree has lost limbs or is declining, you know, pruning out dead limbs is always a good thing. It's like giving the tree a bath.
Really?
And that can be done any time of the year. So as soon as they go out and take a look at your tree, look for insect populations. If you see something unusual, if you're not sure if the tree may be diseased or have some hazards or risks like a hollow in the tree, contact an arborist or a horticulturist or a forester.
What if you have a hollow in the tree?
That needs to be looked at by a professional, somebody who is trained in identifying risk trees that have problems like that, and they can evaluate and decide, is the tree worth saving? There's no magic answers to a hollow tree, but the tree can... Does it have a target? That's the other thing to think about. Is it, if it falls or if a part of it falls, is it going to hit something?
Yeah. I'm thinking about my backyard as you're saying that. I'm thinking, yes, it would. It would be pretty rough. So,
What we recommend is that people hire a certified arborist from the International Society of Arboriculture. They are the folks that certify and test the arborists and foresters. So that they have the training and the skills and the knowledge to be able to identify those kind of hazards.
If our listeners have questions for our two good experts here about their gardens, their lawns, their trees, 816-235-2888. This is a great time to call. Again, 816-235-2888. But again, Mark, you're saying start thinking about watering your trees even now?
Yes. We are many inches behind. The last I saw, we were about 8 inches behind for the year.
Wow.
But drought is cumulative. And we had the drought from 2012. It was hot and dry last summer as well. It continued through the winter and on through the spring. This is the wet month, and this western tier of counties along the Missouri-Kansas border is under moderate drought. So, yeah, I have begun watering my trees in my yard as well.
And when you talk about watering trees, you do that how? What's the
easy
way to do it?
You need to water deep. Mm-hmm. Deep is the key. And so going out there with a sprinkler and watering the grass is not going to cut it. And a large tree takes a lot of water. It will require laying soaker hoses for a long period of time, perhaps. There's lots of ways you can do it. If you do it with a sprinkler, with a common garden sprinkler, let it soak in for longer periods of time than just enough to water the grass.
So you want to go back and forth for a few hours, then, it sounds like.
Yes. Yeah. And it's preferable to do it in the spring, or I'm sorry, in the morning rather than in the evening.
Okay. All right. And I'm sorry, what time again did you say? The best time to do it?
I like to water in the mornings.
In the mornings, okay. Kiska from Lawrence, welcome to Up to Date. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
I just have a quick question. Can you speak about tree mold on the outside of the trunks of the trees? And
when you talk about
tree mold?
What, describe that to me a little bit.
I have 7 trees up in Perry, Kansas, and every year they are developing a mold on the outside of the tree trunks. It's like spotted mold.
Is it orange in color or kind of a greenish orange?
Kind of a green.
Yeah.
Kind of a greenish color.
Do you
know anything about tree mold?
Yeah, it's not a problem. They grow on trees around in the Midwest. They don't cause the tree any significant harm.
Okay.
So, yeah, I wouldn't worry too much about it. A lot of times they'll grow on trees that are out in the open. But, yeah, they grow on the trunk typically. My experience is they don't cause any real harm.
Usually they're just like a secondary moss or lichen or something
question.
Like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a tree.
Trees in Lawrence, I don't know what's going on in Lawrence, but I notice all the leaves have holes in them. And it spreads from tree to tree every year. And this year it's back again. You see holes in the leaves. And I was just wondering if you knew what that was in Lawrence.
Yeah, specifically no. But this time of year, you know, the leaves are green and luscious and delicious to all the things that like to eat on leaves.
Mm.
So, yeah, all of the moths and the caterpillars and everything else that likes to munch on leaves are having a great time. They're having a salad bar.
Kiska, thank you for the call.
All of them have holes.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Appreciate it, Kiska. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Let's go to Don from Overland Park. Don, you're on Up to Date.
Hey, good morning. My son and I were out on the driveway a couple weeks ago, and we have 2 ash trees at the end of our driveway, pretty big ones, and we noticed dozens of small worms in a radius pattern heading toward the foot, the trunk of the tree, the base of the tree. And we took a picture and we looked them up online. And sure enough, to me, they look like the emerald ash borer. Is this how they operate? I mean, are they in eggs and do they fall out of the tree and crawl in? And I'll take my answer on the air.
Yeah, thanks, Don. You're shaking your head, Dennis.
Well, we had tons of calls about an insect called the ash sawfly. A little green half-inch worm or so, kind of a light stripe on it, and they were all over the ash this year. This is actually probably the biggest outbreak of ash sawfly I think I can remember seeing. It's kind of been building the last 3, 4, 5 years.
Wow.
And you're never going to see the larval stage, really, of the emerald ash borer because it's going to be inside the tree. You're just going to see more of the beetle itself. But this is, like Mark said a minute ago, it was a smorgasbord for all these leaf-eating insects, and this ash sawfly was one of those that we saw in droves this year, and its feeding should be done now and moved on.
You know, I had my ash tree treated a year ago. They said it was for 2 years. Is that going to have much of an impact? Gentlemen, what do we know about treating ash trees and whether it's going to work or not and what the fate of my tree might be?
Well, the treatments are highly effective. We're recommending the treatment you went with, which is the commercially done one that's injected into the tree.
Yeah.
That tends to give the best treatment, especially for large trees. In all research in other parts of the country, those treatments are extremely effective. But I think the key here, and actually Mark and I were just talking about this before we came into the studio, it's not a one and done. This is almost a lifetime of treatment.
As long
as you want to keep that tree alive in your yard, you're going to have to repeat those applications down the road.
No kidding.
And I don't think a lot of people realize that. I think a lot of people think, well, gee, I treat once, my ash tree's fine for life. And no, it's an ongoing treatment.
Mark, how devastating has the emerald ash borer been?
Well, we first discovered it about 2 years ago up around Parkville. And in those neighborhoods where it was first discovered, a lot of the ash trees are either dead or they're declining and will soon be gone. This is going to continue to grow as the insect builds population. We found it now in Clay County. It's been confirmed in Clay County, so that's a new one. We've suspected it's been there just because it's so close to the infestation in Platte County, but also in Jackson County. So the population of these bugs are going to continue to grow as it is. As they expand, they're going to continue to impact ash trees. People in the affected counties, if they have ash that are valuable to them, I would recommend that they begin treatment now.
It cost me, what, $100, $150 or something like that for a two-year treatment? I think that's what it was.
Yeah, and every arborist maybe have a slightly different pricing schedule, but I agree with Dennis that homeowners' best chance of success in keeping their tree healthy is by going out and hiring a qualified arborist.
Hmm. Dennis, let's talk about something else that drives certain folks nuts. I'm talking squirrels. digging up all my wife's plants these days, what's the best way to keep those things away outside of importing about 20 hawks into my neighborhood?
Boy, that is really a difficult question.
I was afraid you were going to say that.
Yeah, you know, in the vegetable garden, you know, people have gone to building cages over their tomato plants, those type of things, to keep the squirrels out. You know, there's really not a good answer. Trapping them, removing them. Squirrels are territorialistic, more going to move back in. One of the most effective treatments, I probably shouldn't mention on the air because there'll be some people not too happy with that one that has a bang associated with it. But, you know, there are repellents. They're short term, you know, work on taste, those type of things.
How about putting hot pepper on your plant?
Well, that would be the repellent, the taste. But every time it rains, you get a heavy dew, the plant grows, you're going to have to reapply it. So people just usually don't want to be a slave to that. So I would say if it's like I said, on tomatoes, I'd figure out some sort of fruit tree netting, something like that, to lay over the plants, over the area. When they're digging up flowers, a lot of times they'll dig up tulip bulbs in the fall, put some chicken wire over the top, or here again, the fruit tree netting, the plants will grow through them. So I think it really boils down to trying to figure out a way to outsmart the squirrel. But, you know, for a rodent, they're pretty darn smart.
I was going to say, there's a lot of them in my neighborhood, too. Do they have a natural predator? I mean, outside of an occasional cat or something? I mean, they're all over the place where I live.
Well, hawks, certainly. There's also some populations of red fox throughout the city that does a great job. You know, my dog gets one every now and then.
We appreciate that.
You know, cars are another pretty good predator. But that's the problem. You know, there's more wildlife in the city than there is in the country because the predators aren't there to keep that natural balance. And there's ample food. I mean, people feed birds. People out there are feeding the squirrels because they like them. We get calls all the time with them being in the attic, in the house, chewing wire, those type of things.
Right, you really
need to think of the squirrel as not as a cute, cuddly little animal, but as a rodent, which is related to a mouse or a rat.
That's sort of how they appear to me sometimes. Yeah. If you're just joining us this morning, you're listening to Up to Date. We're talking about your gardens and trees and lawns and how to care for all of them this summer. Mark Nelson's with us with the Missouri Department of Conservation. Dennis Patton is also here with the Johnson County K-State Research and Extension. Our number here again, 816-235-2888. Again, 816-235-2888. I mean, Dennis, if you don't have much of a green thumb, but you want to grow vegetables or flowers, and you know, can good intentions overcome a lack of experience here? Or what should the novice or the unlucky gardener be thinking about here?
You know, actually, this has been kind of my mantra this spring. I think people make gardening too complicated.
Really?
You start reading books, magazines, some other radio programs, things like that. There's all these potions and lotions and tonics and things you're supposed to do. And it's basically plant growth and development. Plant it in the soil, tend it, just like us, you know, plants need food, water, just like we need food, water, and then they'll grow. And there's so much helpful information out there through Extension, Missouri Department of Conservation, other places to help you grow. So this thing about not having a green thumb, I think, is really a mindset. It just takes a little thought, and just keep in mind you're nurturing a living, growing thing, just as if you're raising a child or a puppy or caring for the squirrel. It's a living thing, and that's what it takes.
Mark, you think we make it too complicated?
Yes. Yeah.
You didn't hesitate. Yeah.
It's all a matter of information and knowledge. And as Dennis said, there's lots of resources available out there at your fingertips. Mm-hmm. In seconds, you can have all kinds of information about whether it's the vegetable garden or the trees in your backyard.
And you have all that, and that's what you should be thinking about then. Don't make it so hard.
That or contact your local experts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other comment I'm going to add, people go to the internet, you know, they Google the answer, they Bing the answer. But I think if people will sometimes skip the .coms and go to the .edus and then zero in for the Kansas City area, so K-State, MU, Missouri Department of Conservation, those type of things, and get local information, they're going to be so far ahead as far as getting lost in this maze of stuff out there.
Let's go to some calls. Victoria from Overland Park. Victoria, are you there?
I am. Great show. Love the EDUs. I have these red twig ivory halo dogwood shrubs. I, you know, trim them back. I prune out a third each year. But this year, for the first time, a large branch with, you know, lots of little branches on each of the five shrubs have had no leaves. And I wasn't sure if it was because I was negligent with watering and if they'll come into leaf or if you've seen that before.
Well, we have the ivory halo in one of our demonstration gardens, and it is a gorgeous plant, but it is also a fussy plant. It does exactly what you say. It will get dieback. It'll get a leaf spot disease. My best advice would just be keep pruning out the dead wood. Mm. It is also one that doesn't like a lot of heat and drought because it has that white variegation of the foliage. It will burn up a little bit more quicker in the heat of our summer, and that could lead to some of those declines. And there's a few other problems, but I think good care, watering, good pruning, and the plant will continue to respond.
Should I go ahead and prune out? I mean, I cut out, like I said, deadwood and do a third each year. Should I go ahead and cut out these branches that have not leafed this year?
You know, if you're optimistic, you could give it another week or two. But my takes the last week or so, it's probably dead. And dead, you might as well get out of there any time of the year.
Okay. Hey, thanks for the show.
Thanks, Victoria. All the best. Let's go to Rebecca from Kansas City, Missouri, has a question about a tree. Rebecca, good morning.
Hi. I have a Mortimacy cherry tree in my backyard. It is not one that I planted myself. We've lived here for about 7 years. And normally we've had a good crop. But last year and this year, it is flowered, as it always does. And then the fruits emerge. But then I would say about a third to a half of the fruit then shrivels up into a little yellow seed, I guess, and dies and falls off the tree. And I was wondering, last year I thought it was the cold snap that we had, the late frost, but I'm not sure what happened this year.
Mark
Have
Nelson?
Have you ever heard of such a thing?
Dennis, yeah.
Okay. Montmorency cherries are one of the best tart cherry varieties for our, the Kansas City area. My hunch would be a couple of things. First of all, a lot of times a plant will set really heavy fruit and then it'll go through a natural thinning process. You know, you've always heard of like the June fruit drop, those type of things. That really does happen. So that may just be part of it, but you should still have a good, nice crop of cherries after that happens. Chart cherries have very few insect and diseases, but there are some fruit worms that would get in there, and they would happen as the cherry's setting, and that would cause them to drop. Or it could be that the tree's under some sort of stress. As cherries mature and age, there's an insect called a borer that gets into the trunk of a lot of the cherry trees, and that'll restrict the flow of water and nutrients and overall weaken the tree. Mm. And that would also maybe cause some of the fruit to drop as a way of it trying to save itself to drop some fruit. It could be one of those problems going on.
Okay. Do you recommend anything in the case of the borer?
You could spray the trunk with a borer product that would help reduce it. You'd also see on a cherry a lot of sap oozing out of the trunk of the tree with a borer, or you maybe have some areas. You do see that?
I do see that.
Yeah, then that's probably you got borers in there. And there are some products on the market that you basically on a fruit tree just treat the main trunk of the tree. We don't spray the fruit for a borer. We just spray that trunk of the tree. And usually you start spraying early, mid-May and go every couple of weeks through at least three applications or so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Thank you.
You know, Mark, how often should people consider getting their mature trees in their yards trimmed? I mean, hiring someone to come in and trim a tree back, how often?
Really, a large mature tree doesn't need to be trimmed unless it has structural problems like a very narrow branch angle where the branches aren't very well attached to each other.
Mm-hmm.
If it's overhanging something of high value and the limb is at risk, is diseased, or if it's dead, just to trim a large tree back, we see that, and it, thankfully less and less, but we used to call it topping, should never be done. It is taking the tree and cutting it in half. And leaves big exposed wounds. The branches then that grow on the outside are very weakly attached. They break in storms. So, my recommendation is have it evaluated by a certified arborist especially if it's overhanging something of value. But really, a healthy, mature tree doesn't need to be trimmed.
Interesting. We had an email here, a question that we were talking about watering these mature trees to make up for the drought. You talked about the sprinkler, putting it out there for a longer period of time. Are you better off just putting the hose out there and letting it run and moving the hose around?
You can do that, yes.
But in a big tree, that's a lot of different areas.
It is. And so, watering a big tree is somewhat trickier, because you have to think about moving the hose around. A sprinkler becomes a much more attractive option. You can leave it and walk away. I won't speak to the problems you might be causing to the turf, however, if you're watering that much. And that's the reason I recommended watering in the morning, so that you don't get the foliar diseases on the grass.
The sun will dry them out that kind of thing. Okay, back to some phone calls here. Let's go to Chuck from North Kansas City. Chuck, good morning.
Good morning. Just a quick question regarding, I'm in a constant battle with woodpeckers. I have three different varieties that seem to love my house. The question is, are all woodpecker species protected?
They are. And so, you cannot disturb or kill them without a permit. We do have wildlife damage biologists on staff here in Kansas City with the Missouri Department of Conservation. I would really encourage you, because this is a little bit outside of my expertise, I would encourage you to call our Discovery Center, which is trying to remember the number right now.
We'll get it, and we'll post it online on our website for our show here.
One quick thing a lot of homeowners can do with the woodpeckers if they're trying to attack the home is just put some wire screening up in that area. A lot of times they're attracted to a particular area. So you just tack lightly so you don't damage the house, some wire mesh screen, and that will a lot of times make the woodpecker move on to another location. Or you could also try the scare tactics. So the little streamers, old CDs, those type of things. Here again, just get it to disrupt its habitat, and sometimes that does help.
Okay. I hope that helps, Chuck. Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's get the phone number for the Discovery Center as well. That's what we need here. We'll put that out here in just a second here. Let's go to Scott from Blue Springs, and our number here, 816-235-2888. Scott, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Love the show.
Thanks.
Big fan for many years.
Thank you.
I'll make this quick. You guys were talking about cats in the garden. The most successful deterrent I've ever had, or cat, squirrels in the garden, the most successful deterrent I've ever had was when I had a cat that liked to stay outside virtually all summer, and he basically spent the days sleeping in the garden.
That's a cat to keep, Scott.
He didn't attack the squirrels. He just, was there and kept them out of the garden. So,
well, there you go.
Been the most effective deterrent I've ever had. So, thanks a lot, Steve.
I appreciate that, Scott.
On to the next caller.
Might be kind of tough to train a cat to do exactly that for you, though, right? That sounds like a pretty good plan. Let's go to Wendell from Lee Summit. Wendell, you're on up today. Good morning.
Howdy. I have a magnolia tree in my front yard that's looking pretty stressed. It's losing leaves and they're turning yellow. Is there anything I should do? I've been trying to water it.
It depends how we can overwater plants too. How often do you water it?
About once a week.
Yeah, that's probably sufficient. Good. Okay. Because sometimes we love our plants to death, and we talked about being in drought, and people want to make sure the tree doesn't die or of thirst, so we continually water it. It doesn't sound like maybe that's the problem here. I would think about, is it in heavy clay? You know, we have an abundance of clay in this area, and magnolia. It's Lee Summit, right? And so you've got an abundance of clay, and magnolias don't like that kind of heavy, wet soil. I suspect it's probably some kind of a root problem associated with the soil. There's not a whole lot you're going to be able to do about that other than just good preventative care, good maintenance for that tree. And it sounds like you're probably doing the best you can, but just keep watching it. Water when it's dry.
Okay, it's still got blossoms coming out. So, love the smell of those magnolia blossoms.
Yeah, you bet.
They're beautiful.
Thanks, Wendell. The phone number for the Discovery Center is 816-759-7300. If folks have questions, let's squeeze one more call here. Lee from Kansas City, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks. Great show. I'll make this quick. Our trees have grown to the point where they are now covering a lot of our view.
Uh-oh.
You mentioned it's not a good idea to trim the trees. What might we think as an option? I'll listen off the air.
Thanks, Lee.
Yeah, you can. If you have an issue with a tree, certainly you can trim it. I would recommend, though, that you wait until the tree is dormant, sometime after the leaf drop. That will provide or will prevent the least amount of impact. Right now, there's lots of funguses out there, lots of things that like to eat on or in trees. It'd be best to wait until the tree is dormant for the winter, then hire a certified arborist to come in and prune out the branches that are offensive or that you want to have gone.
All right. We're out of time. I want to thank Mark Nelson from the Missouri Department of Conservation, Dennis Patton with K-State Research and Extension, and Johnson County as well. Thanks so much for coming in, guys. So good to have you here.
Thanks so much.
Come back again. We'll do it again, okay?